I believe that this is going to be a huge help to you as we are going to be in Matthew 6 and we're going to talk about prayer. And this particular passage really has meant a great deal to me through the years. Years ago, probably 30 years ago, I heard this, the concept that I'm going to be sharing with you. And I don't think I've ever preached this in 30 years. And so I'm really looking forward to this. Prayer to God is an incredible privilege to think that we could talk with the God of this universe. And it's a very powerful thing. But prayer is not a magic wand. It's not a rabbit's foot just to get what we want. Prayer at its most basic level is talking to God. And Jesus Christ was our example. We saw this back at the beginning of the month, that Jesus Christ was constantly praying to his heavenly Father. There was constant communication going on. And the disciples noticed that. Remember, they traveled with Jesus. They lived with Jesus. They'd wake up in the middle of the night. He'd be gone, you know, out praying somewhere. And finally, one day, they speak up. And the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, we want to know how to pray like you." Jesus didn't rebuke them. He wasn't like, "Oh, guys, man, you guys ought to know that. It's simple." No, he did it. He started teaching them. Matthew 6 is a record of what he said to them when they asked him that question, "Lord, teach us to pray." And last week we said that Jesus gave them several principles to go by. He said, "Guys, when you pray, you need to have a secret place." He called it a closet, but it could be an office, the back porch. Have a place every day where you meet with God and you talk to him. Pray secretly. He said, pray sincerely. Pray from your heart, not like the hypocrites. Just be real. Be yourself. He said, pray specifically. Get down to the nitty-gritty. What is it that you want God to do? Talk to him about it. Be specific. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then after he gets done teaching them some of those concepts, he's going to get really practical, and he's actually going to say, "Okay, guys, after this manner, therefore, pray ye." And some people then call what follows the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the model prayer. There's no indication in Scripture that God ever intended for that prayer to be a prayer of repetition. Just saying those same words over and over again, now, that's not in the Bible. In fact, right before he gave them that, he said not to use vain repetitions, like the heathen do. So this isn't a prayer that he gave them to just repeat, you know, and, "Oh, you're going to really earn brownie points with God if you say these exact words." That's not in the Bible. In fact, we never see Jesus ever leading his disciples in this prayer. We find no mention of it in the New Testament church. There's no mention of it in the book of Acts. There's no mention of this prayer ever being, to the church, to the church told to repeat it in all of Paul's letters to the churches. He never mentions it. So clearly, this was not a prayer that was intended to be repeated verbatim. It was a model prayer. It was an example. He said, "In this manner, pray ye." In this manner. It's like if my wife was going to teach my daughter-in-law, say, for example, she was going to teach her how to make chicken parmesan. And she said, "Kendall, after this manner you make it." And so she takes her in and she kind of starts showing her how she makes chicken parmesan. And it isn't the idea that my daughter-in-law has to use that exact pan, that exact, what'd you call it earlier? A skillet, yeah. You don't have to use that brand skillet. You don't have to use that brand of cheese and that brand of tomato sauce. You don't have to get the chicken at the same place. You don't have to put the same amount of sauce on. You may want more cheese, less cheese. But she's given her the manner in which to make it. You know, she may want a little more salt. She may want a little more pepper. You know, that's about as far as I go. That's all I know about cooking, salt and pepper. Isn't that pitiful? I don't know what else is in it. But anyway, that's about it as far as my cooking goes, salt and pepper. But yeah, I mean, she's given her the manner in which to make it. And in the same way, Jesus says, after this manner, this isn't something to just be repeated. The disciples asked Jesus, they said, "Teach us how to pray." They didn't say, "Give us a prayer," right? They didn't say, "Give us a prayer to repeat." No, they said, "We want to know how to pray." So Jesus did. Then he gives them a model, and it is a great model. It's a wonderful model. Most believers, I believe, want to pray, and they know they need to pray. problem is we just really don't know what to pray for. We really don't know what to pray about. I remember as a young Christian, man, I'd get all excited, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. And man, I'm going to pray an hour. You ever be like that? I'm going to pray an hour. And I get on my knees, you know, and I'm going to pray an hour. And man, I pray and man, I'm all prayed out. I don't know what else to say. And I'm thinking, man, it's got to be an hour. And I look at my wife, it's been 5 minutes. 5 minutes? Why? That seemed like an hour, you know? I don't know what else to say. And hey, been there, done that. I know exactly what that's like. Well, this prayer that Jesus gives them, starting in verse 9, and it goes down there through verse number 13, this is going to provide a skeleton, if you will. Then you have to put the meat on it by making it personal to your life, to your situation, for the time period that you live in today. And if you take this prayer, you can break it down into six sections. In fact, look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Boom. First section, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Second section, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Third section, give us this day our daily bread. Fourth section of the prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The fifth section of the prayer is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then the sixth part is for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take this prayer in bites. All right, we're going to take it in bites. And we're going to take the first two sections today. And then the next time we're going to do some more. And we're going to work our way through this. Probably take us about 3 weeks. And we're going to go through it. And by the time we're done, you're going to know exactly the point Jesus is making here. He's teaching you the manner. So from this, you will be able to develop a really good, solid prayer list that you know, okay, this is biblical. These are the things I really ought to be praying about. And then you'll be able to kind of fill in the details on that and put together a very nice prayer list that will basically be in six sections, and you'll know what to pray for. So we're going to begin with the first two. Now, how does he start the prayer? Let's go back up to verse 9. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then notice how he starts the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's he doing? He is beginning the prayer with praise. That's number one in your handout. Always begin your prayer time with praise, praising God. He's praising God the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. What's he doing, church? He's declaring God's position. God is high. God is exalted. And so when we come to the Lord in prayer, we recognize God's position and our position, which should lead us to humble ourselves before him. We're like, God, you are in heaven. I'm down here on earth. I can only see what I see. God, you see the big picture. You see everything from your high and exalted position in heaven. You know, God, you are sinless. I'm sinful. You know, you are holy. Hallowed means holy. Holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. It means, God, you're holy. You're just. You're righteous. You're perfect. You're sinless. Me, I'm a sinner. And so this should lead us to come, humble ourselves before God, and begin our prayers by praising God, by thanking God. If I were to ask you this question, don't answer out loud, but if I was to say, how many minutes did you spend last week praising God and thanking God? Would we be embarrassed to have to share that with the church? Would we be embarrassed before the Lord? How much time did we spend last week in our prayer life just praising him, just thanking him for who he is, thanking him for what he's done? This is so important. Jesus begins the prayer by praising God, by thanking him, praising him, lifting him up. In your handout, it says, God is so pleased when we recognize him for who he is and we praise him accordingly. All that pleases God because it means we get it. We understand. We get it. God, I know who you are. And God, I am going to praise you for who you are. And in your handout is a great example of the Apostle Paul doing that. Look at it with me. 1 Timothy 1:17. It's in your handout there. All right, y'all got it? Say amen if you got it, huh? All right, good. Look at it. It says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. What's the last word? Amen. Yeah, that's a prayer. See, Paul's offering up a prayer. And what's he doing right there? He's not asking God for anything, is he? He's just praising him. Lord, you're the king. How many of y'all believe God's the king? Amen? He's the king. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus is King of kings. One day he's going to show the earth, right? And the Bible says God's eternal. He's immortal. We're mortal. We're all going to die. God never died. God always has been, always will be. He's immortal. Invisible. God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? He says the only wise God. God's full of wisdom. Praise him for that. You know, he says, unto you be honor and glory forever. He's just praising him. You deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. Look at the next verse in your handout, Ephesians 3, another prayer. He says, now unto him, God, that's able, he's powerful, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, because he lives in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, what? Amen. Yes. There's a reference I got in your handout. If you look at the bottom of your handout, it says the Apostle Paul taught the Gentile churches, like Crossroads, that we should be praising God for mightily for his incredible mercy and grace. And then that reference right there, I'm going to put it up on the screen. If you'll look up here, this is an amazing passage about praise. And I want you to notice what Paul says here to the church. He says, and that the Gentiles might, what are we supposed to be doing? Might what? Glorify God for his what? Mercy. Are you thankful for his mercy? Man, without his mercy, we'd all be doomed, wouldn't we? Tell him you're thankful. Praise him for it. Glorify him. Glorify God means you praise him. You lift him up. And then he says, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles. Here's another way you can praise God. What does it say? And what? Sing unto thy name. Hey, have you ever been praying and you just start singing to the Lord? I have. And you just, by the way, that's cool. That's great. You can just start praising him in song. You can be praise. You can sing to him a song. You say, Lord, you say, Pastor Jen, I would never put God through that. Never would I sing to him. No, it's all right. I don't know. Somehow I think the Holy Spirit takes it, and by the time it gets up there, it's on tune. What do you think, huh? I think it's on tune. And so, you know, this week I did that. I just started, it was that old song that we haven't done in a long, long time. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord. And I was just singing that to him in prayer. He says, you sing unto his name. Then, and notice it says, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people, and again praise the Lord. He says, rejoice and praise the Lord. Are you thankful to God? Rejoice, praise him. And then he ends it by saying, and laud him, all ye people. Laud isn't a word we use a lot, but you can see the word within the word, right? Applaud, that's literally what it means. Applaud him, all ye people. Applaud him. What's the idea? Praise him. Applaud him. Commend him. And so Paul says to the Gentile churches, this is what you ought to be doing. You should be glorifying him, praising him, singing unto him, applauding him. Reminds me of that famous hymn. And many of you might know it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Some of you know it. Yeah, it's a famous hymn. And that is a song of just praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. I want to give you in your handout a praise list. You've heard of a prayer list? Turn your handout over and let me give you a praise list. Whenever you go to prayer, the first thing you do is you praise him. That's what we learn from Jesus. And here's a praise list in case you need to know. Number one, praise him for who he is. What if I was to say to you, what's the Lord to you? How would you answer that? You know, what is the Lord to you? You say, well, man, he's my salvation. Tell him that. You say, he's my forgiveness of all my sins. Tell him that. Praise him for that. What is the Lord to you? That's praising him. Tell him that when you pray. What is the Lord to you? You say, he's my rock. He's my strength. Every day, man, he's my strength. Tell him that. Praise him for that. What is the Lord to you? You say, well, man, he's my everything. He's everything to me. Tell him that. Praise him for who he is to you. What does he mean to you? He wants you to hear him tell him that. You know, just like Denise likes for me to tell her what she means to me. And that means a lot to her. When I write her a note or I tell her, hey, honey, you know what? This is what you mean to me. That means a lot to her. And in the same way, that means so much to your Heavenly Father when you praise him and tell him what he means to you. The second part there is number two, thank him for what he has done. Has God done anything for y'all? Say amen. Amen. Has he done anything for you? All right. You say, well, yeah, he saved me. Thank him for that. He saved members of my family. Thank him for that. What's he done for you? Has he forgiven you of all your sins? Thank him. Has he led you to a great church? You're supposed to say amen right there. Amen. You got a great pastor, right? Amen. You know what? Honestly, thank him for that. You got a church where you hear the Bible. Thank him for leading you to a church where you can hear the Bible. Thank him for the fellowship you have with the saints of God here. Thank him for your life group. What's God done in your life? Thank him. Number three, thank him for your blessings. How many of you guys have blessings from God? When's the last time you told him thank you? Hey, would you say food? We all have food, right? We all look pretty healthy in here, amen? Thank him for your food. How many of y'all have clothes on your back? Every hand better go up. All right. Thank him for clothes. I do that all the time. Lord, thank you that I got clothes to put on. You know? And most of us have multiple clothes to choose from. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for a roof over my head to keep the rain and the cold and the heat out. Lord, thank you for a pillow under my head. Thank you for transportation that I can get around. Thank him for your blessings. You see, God wants us to praise him. It pleases God so much when we praise him. So do like Christ did. Always begin your prayers this way, thanking him and praising him. This is a great model. See what I mean by a model? It's not that you say those exact words every morning. Every morning you get up and say, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, you're not just going to repeat those words. No, you're going to praise him for what he means to you in your own words from your own heart. One time I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a pastor, and I was really surprised when he told me, he said that he had gone through a very dark, very depressed time in his life. He said, it was everything I could do to get out of bed. I was so depressed, and I was pastoring a church, and he said, I was so depressed, and I don't know why. He said, I just had the deep, dark depression on me. And I said to him, I said, well, what? I was really shocked by that. You know, if you know him, it's like you'd never think that of him. And I said, well, how did you come out of that depression? And I'll never forget, he said, I praised my way out of it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I would just get up every morning and I would just praise God and I would just thank him for his blessings and I would thank him for who he is. And he said, I just praised and praised and praised and praised God. And he said, pretty soon that darkness passed. That darkness was lifted. And he said, I literally praised my way out of it. I began praising God like I should. Every day that you pray, spend time praising him and thanking him, who he is, what he's done for you, your blessings. Praise him. That's the heart of what we learn in this prayer. Now, the second thing we learn, and let me give you number two. We're going to cover two sections today. So let me give you the second one. Number two, the second thing we learn is this, is that we must spend time praying for God's work. I want you to write that in. Pray for God's work on earth. On earth. Look at verse number 10. Everybody go there after you write that in, and let's look at verse number 10. How does Jesus continue the prayer after he praises the Father? Look at verse number 10. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will, the Father's will, be done where, church? In earth as it is where? In heaven. Now, that particular prayer had direct doctrinal application for the 12. Why? Because they were sent out to preach the good news of the coming kingdom. Hey, the Messiah is here. The long-awaited king is here. So Israel, you better get ready. And you better be looking for that kingdom and anticipating it. And you better be really grabbing a hold of that thing because the kingdom is near. And so that was what they were sent to proclaim. Now, we've got the completed Bible. We're able to look back now, see the big picture, and know God, if you bring up the chart, that program where Christ was going to come at the revelation. See the arrow on the right that's coming down? And you see that? The revelation. That's when Christ returns to the earth. Thy kingdom come. Christ is going to come to the earth and set up that kingdom on the earth. Christ is going to rule and reign. But we know now that God set aside that program temporarily. He suspended it. And we're living in that yellow parentheses. We're living in a time of grace, a grace period, in which God is now offering his grace to all the nations of the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. And now anybody who believes on Jesus Christ is now part of a new thing that God is doing, and that is he's forming the church, the body of Christ. And so when you trust Jesus, you become part of that body, part of the church, and that's that grace period, that parentheses that we are living in today. But there is some practical application that we need to consider when it comes to this prayer. And here it is. You can go ahead and get rid of the chart now. There's some practical application. What is it? Now stay with me. Here's what he's teaching them. Within the heart of every true believer, there should be a desire in your heart to want to see God's work, God's will, and God's plan fulfilled on this earth. The heart, that's the heart of what Jesus is teaching them. Now, does God have a work that he wants accomplished today on this earth? Yes or no? Everybody say yes, yes, yes. Everybody say yes, yes. God's not on sabbatical, amen? All right, God's not on sabbatical. It's not that he isn't doing anything today. That kingdom program's been set aside, but does God have some things that he wants done today? Amen? Yes. God has a work he wants done today. We know through the Apostle Paul, he raised up Paul just to tell us, to show us. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible to the church to show us God's will for today, what God wants done on this earth today. And this prayer reminds me that it's not all about Dan Proctor. It's not all about me. The first two parts of this prayer have nothing to do with me. The first two parts of this prayer have to do with God, which reminds me that I am not the center of the universe. It's truly about God. It's about his plan. It's about his work. It's about what he's doing on planet Earth. And our daily prayer should be, God, how can I further your work? How can I help you accomplish your plans? Oh, man, that's revolutionary. That should be foremost on our hearts. I'm afraid that our American culture and mentality has led us to think that prayer is all about getting God in on our plans. God, here's what I want to see done. Now, God, bless me. And we just want to get God in on what we're doing. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about me getting in on his plans and what he wants done. That's what prayer is about. It's about me saying, God, I want to get in on what you're doing. I want to be a part of your heart, your passion, what you want done. And that's why prayer for your local church should be right near the top of your prayer list. It should be on your heart and on your mind. Why? Because the church is the primary channel for accomplishing his plan, for accomplishing God's purpose today on the earth. God accomplishes his work through local churches. That's how he gets his work done today. Would you guys agree with me? Satan is blinding people's eyes today from the gospel. Amen? Yeah. Why is the church here? We're here to bring light to the community. We are here to bring light because Satan's blinding eyes. Satan is shielding people's minds from the gospel. We are here to turn the light on. Satan is propagating lies. The church is there to proclaim truth. We're here to counter his lies with truth. Satan's trying to destroy lives. The church is here to rescue lives. That's why we're here. We're on a mission. The church is here to give light. We're here to give truth. We're here to throw a lifeline out to the members of our community. And I know it's very hard to understand this sometimes, but what God is doing is more important than what I'm doing. What God's doing is more important than what we're doing. As you pray about God's work daily, it helps you to keep everything in the proper perspective. I don't know if you noticed this or not. I'm not sure if the light's come on yet, but I hope it has, and I hope you noticed something. I hope you noticed that Jesus gives them the manner in which to pray, and I hope you noticed that the prayer for God's work to be accomplished comes before any prayer for our own personal needs. There is a time and there is a place to pray for our personal needs. We're going to see that next time we get together. He doesn't talk about, Lord, give me my daily bread, until after there's been a prayer for God's work to be accomplished. God's work and God's plan should be first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds if we're where we need to be with the Lord. It's first and foremost. Our prayers and our lives, in your handout it says our prayers and our lives should be working in harmony with God's will and God's work through our local church. Your prayer life and your life should be working in harmony. For example, if you're a member of Crossroads, this is your church. Your prayer life and your personal life should be working in harmony with God's will and God's work through the work he's doing here through the local church. Now, if this isn't your church, then that would be true of whatever your church is. How much time do you spend in prayer for God's work? Think about that. How much time did you spend this week praying for God's work, for God's will to be accomplished on earth? You say, well, what do I pray for? Well, I mean, it starts with praying for your local church. You know, and praying, if Crossroads is your local church, man, that's on your heart. That's like right at the top of the list. You spend time praising him, and then boom, my heart's on him. My heart's captivated with him. So doesn't it make sense? Now my prayer is going to move into the realm of, okay, God, what do you want accomplished? God, I want to do what you want done. God, I want your work to move forward. And so boom, I go from praising him into praying for his work. And Lord, I pray for my local church. I pray Satan will be bound. I pray for unity. I pray that as a church we'll be unified in our mission and unified in our goals. I pray that we will be unified in our desire to exalt Christ in the community. Pray for your pastors. They're on the front lines, man. Pray for them. Pray for your fellow church members that you know may be struggling. Pray for open doors for your church to proclaim the gospel. I mean, I think about things that we should be praying about right now. Vacation Bible School. We always reach tons of new families through that. And we need to be praying for that. We're doing a huge baseball camp outreach this summer. We need to be praying about that. You know, we're going to be doing a huge gym outreach in the fall. Walk Through Bethlehem in December. I mean, on and on. We're praying for open doors for our church to get the gospel out to Daytona Beach, Florida. Would you agree with me? Daytona Beach needs the gospel, amen? Pray for your church that we can get it out. Pray for lost souls to come to know Christ. Pray for the ministries that you're involved in. This is all under number two, the second section of your prayer. I mean, think about it. You're praying for your local church, praying for open doors for your church, praying for lost souls to be saved. You're praying for your pastors. You're praying for your fellow church members. You're praying for the ministries you're involved in. And then you're like, Lord, I want you to show me how I can better support the work of my local church. Lord, I want your will to be done on this earth. Lord, this is about you. God, how can I better support my local church? Lord, how can I, you know, what do you want me to give to my church? That's so important. The church doesn't get government funds. We don't get government grants. The only way we have to be able to finance the work of God and get the gospel out is the giving of God's people. We don't sell a product. Government doesn't assist in any way. It's strictly, solely, period, through the giving of God's people. So that's something serious to us. So we're like, Lord, what do you want me to give to your work this week? You know, you look in the book of Acts, and right before everything significant happens in the book of Acts, prayer is being offered up to God. Before the church is formed at Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit comes and fills them all, they're in an upper room praying. In Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans get the Holy Spirit, but before they get it, Peter and John are praying. Then in Acts 10, the gospel goes to the Gentiles, they receive it, Peter and Cornelius are praying. Before Paul begins planting churches all over Asia and all over Europe, the church at Antioch fasts and prays. Before God does something, it's always preceded by prayer. Your prayers make such a difference. In your handout, it says they are the fuel that powers God's work on this earth. Your prayers are the fuel that powers God's work. Now, once you write that in, I want you to look up here for just a moment. I'm going to give you an illustration. All right? And I want you to use your imagination. Put your, what they say in school, put your imagination cap on. All right? And I want you to think with me and imagine something with me. All right? I want you to picture the church as a car. Why? Because we know the church is the vehicle that God is using today to advance the gospel. By and large, he's working through local churches. And so the church is God's vehicle for advancing the gospel. So picture the church as a car. Now, I want you to also picture the engine inside the car that gives it its power. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that the church, which is not this building, the church is the people, amen? The church has the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Ephesians 2 says that we are the habitation of God through the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is inside of us, just like an engine inside of a car. And the Holy Spirit, like that engine, is there to give us the power to move and advance forward the gospel. So imagine the church is a car, and inside the car is the engine of the Holy Spirit that's going to give us the power we need to move the gospel forward. But there's one other element that we're missing. If that car is going to move at all, what's it going to take? You got to have gas. That engine is very powerful, but it's got to have fuel. And I want you to imagine for me that the gasoline, the fuel, are the prayers of the saints. It's the prayers that fill us and that energize us so that God's Spirit can work in and through us and empower us. The church is the car, the engine is the Spirit, and those prayers are the fuel that the Holy Spirit uses to move the church forward for Jesus Christ. And in your handout, it says many times God's work in God's church stalls because people simply are not praying. Before you put your handout up, I want to just quickly say this in as review. As we talk about the model prayer, look up here. How do our prayers begin? Someone tell me, how do we begin our prayers? With what? We begin with praise. We get on our knees and we thank him for who he is, what he's done, his blessings in our life. We extol him for who he is. We may even break out in a song and sing to him, right? Because we love him and we want to praise him. But then immediately our heart goes, okay, God, you know what? You are mighty. You are God. You are in heaven. And you know what? What you're doing is a lot more important than what I'm doing. So God, let me spend some time praying about your work here on this earth. And Lord, I want to pray for my local church, and I want to pray for my pastors, and I want to pray for lost souls to be saved. And I want to pray for my fellow members. And I want to pray, Lord, that you will work through me to be able to give to my local church, to move forward the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your prayers, that's the fuel that's going to move the car forward. That's the fuel that's going to, the Holy Spirit's going to use to move it forward. Now, is there a time to pray for yourself and for your needs? Yes. Next time we get together, We're going to examine the next part of this prayer. Then it moves into the realm of your personal life and the things that you're dealing with. Okay, and we're going to talk about our daily needs. We're going to talk about our daily sins that we struggle with. We're going to talk about the temptations that we face and how to deal with those. So yes, there's definitely a time to pray about what's going on in your personal life, but we always begin with God. Amen, church.